I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's no surprise what we're going to talk about this morning, because if you were listening to the children's talk, you already know. And if you were really listening to the children's talk, then most of what I have to say is just a repeat. But I want to talk about doubting Thomas. I want to talk about Jesus' appearances and us. As I was thinking about speaking to you this morning and reading the text, reading the scripture, I had this solid remembrance that I want to share with you this morning, because it wasn't by any means the same, but it had elements of what Thomas was going through, and it was something I experienced in my own life. So let me share it. The date was January the 22nd, 1973, a long way back. The place was Jamaica, where I was living. And it was early evening, and January the 22nd, I had a plan to go with my automobile mechanic, Jackie Mahon, to inspect a very old secondhand car that I hoped to buy way out in the Jamaican countryside, and I needed Jackie's advice. So Jackie picked me up by arrangement, and to my surprise, Jackie turned the car the wrong way. I said, "Jackie, this isn't the way to where the car is." He said, "No, we're driving to Kingston, to the big event." And the big event was the much-heralded World Heavyweight Boxing Championship between the champion, Smokin' Joe Frazier, and the contender, the challenger, George Foreman. Well, we got there, and Smokin' Joe Frazier was by far the favorite to retain his title, his championship, 3-1 odds. And we got there, the bell rang for the first round, and uncharacteristically for heavyweight boxers who usually feel each other out, as the bell rang, George Foreman, as the challenger, stormed across the ring. He knocked Frazier down four times in the first round, and at 4.5 minutes, it was all over. He was knocked out. It was all finished. And the reason I'm telling you that is because right after that, the ring was empty. The boxing ring was empty. And just at that moment, one of our friends arrived into the arena to take his seat, and he looked at the empty ring and he said, "Oh, they haven't started yet." And he said, "What's happening?" Because everybody in the crowd was just stunned. He said, "What's happening?" And we said, "It's all over." He said, no, it's not. It's not even 5 minutes. It's going to go for an hour." And we said, "It's all over." And he looked at Jackie and he looked at me and he said, "I don't believe you." And he meant it. Our gospel this morning. Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I can see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." Doubting Thomas. Something that we encounter in our lives. I sometimes wonder whether calling doubting Thomas is kind of harsh. I often wonder whether we should call him believing Thomas, or maybe even keep him honest Thomas, because he has much that is desirable in his life. And now, like you and me, he may have had some legitimate reason why he was not with the other disciples on Easter Sunday night when Jesus made his appearance to the other disciples. He was like the folks down in the southern United States, and you know, the state of Missouri. You may have heard that from the time you were little. "I'm from Missouri. Show me. Show me. Prove it. prove it to me. I'm from Missouri. And that was Thomas. So what happens next? Our gospel this morning. 8 days later, they're locked. Our reading says shut. No. The Greek says the doors were bolted. Bolted. They were locked into the room again. And suddenly, Jesus appears. And the first thing he says to them again is, peace be with you. He says that 3 times in 5 verses. Peace be with you. Don't be afraid. Peace be with you. And he says to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out to your hand, put your hand in my side, stop doubting and believe. And we go back to that first appearance on Easter Sunday night. Do you remember what Jesus said when he appeared to the disciples? As the Father has sent me, I send you. And it's continuous present tense. I am continuing. I am going on sending you. And that's us. That's us. And what happens next? Very significant. Jesus breathes on them. Breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathes on them. Who's Holy Spirit? Take a quick jaunt back in your Bible to the very first book of the Bible. You open it up on the first page. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. In the Garden of Eden, and God is creating, and we read these words. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. And here in the upper room, Jesus breathes on them. Breathes, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Thomas missed that Sunday morning, or Easter Sunday morning, night time with Jesus. But we have 4 segments where we quickly meet Thomas, and I just want to share these 4 segments with you in a rapid way. We meet Thomas in 4 different places. First of all, in a time of danger. In John chapter 11, we meet Thomas when Jesus is now back up north again. He's up by the Sea of Galilee, and he's about to return down to Judea, to Bethany, which is just across from Jerusalem. Up the Mount of Olives, over the top of the Mount of Olives, and boom, you're in Bethany. Jesus is going back to Bethany. That's where Mary and Martha live because their brother Lazarus has just died. But just a few verses earlier in chapter 10 in John's Gospel, what's happened is Jesus has had a confrontation with the authorities, with the high priests, and he has said, I and the Father are one. And they said, what? Blasphemy. And they took stones and they tried to kill Jesus. The disciples were there. They were frightened. They were scared. And they wanted the authorities wanted to stone Jesus to death. And he got away with the disciples. They're up in Galilee. But Jesus is going back down. He's going back down again to where Mary and Martha live in Bethany because Lazarus has died. And the disciples try to talk Jesus out of it. But then... take note, it's Thomas, our same doubting Thomas, who shows great love and courage in the face of a lot of danger going back to Judea. It's Thomas that states what all the other disciples are feeling, and he says for himself and for all of them, let us also go and die with him. Love and courage. Thomas was loyal to Jesus. He's committed. He's got many wonderful characteristics. And so that's where we first meet him, time of great danger. And the second time we meet him is a time of a kind of foggy future. The second segment is in John chapter 14, where Thomas didn't understand that Jesus must die and return to his Father. And this is toward the end of Jesus' life. And you'll remember that Jesus was trying to comfort and affirm to his disciples that he would go and prepare a place for them. And you know these words so very well. And the disciples are confused. Jesus has just said to them, where I'm going, you cannot come. And they're saying, what? We've been with you for 3 years. What do you mean we can't come? And Jesus is consoling and comforting his disciples. And in John chapter 14, we read these words that you know well. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas didn't understand this. He just couldn't see beyond the finality of Jesus' death. So it's Thomas that says then, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus turns to Thomas and says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So that's the second segment. The third segment is the time when Thomas got his nickname, time of great doubt. Thomas missed the Lord's appearance, he missed the Lord's presence, he missed the Lord's soothing words, peace be to you. He missed all that. He wasn't there, Easter Sunday night. And when he got back, the excited words of the other disciples were just a bunch of words for Thomas. And he couldn't believe them. And then finally, the fourth segment is what we read today, that beautiful belief. It's 8 days later, the disciples are again gathered, the doors are bolted, they're locked, they're afraid of the authorities, they're afraid the authorities will do to them what they did to Jesus. And again, Jesus comes and just stands in the midst of them. And he says again, peace be to you. Peace be to you. And he invites Thomas to touch him. Thomas needed to know that it was really Jesus. He faces his doubts, Thomas, honestly and directly, and within the community. You notice that. He doesn't leave. He doesn't drift away. He stays in community. He stays with the community of the faithful and with courage. He gets his life into perspective. He doesn't wimp out. He doesn't veg out. Good things for us to remember. And when doubt comes on a collision course with faith, the lesson we learn from Thomas is that it is okay to doubt. It's okay to doubt. But that we're called on to have faith. Jesus never gave up on hard-to-reach people. Jesus always drew people to him, didn't he? Always drew them, didn't reject them. So when faith and doubt wrestle in your mind, you may be saying to yourself, or it may be a good friend of yours that's wrestling, and they say, I believe, I want to believe. But then doubt comes sneaking through. And the temptation is to put God on trial. The temptation is to put Jesus on trial. I think that's probably what Thomas did. He said, unless I can touch the nail prints, putting Jesus on trial. Don't put Jesus on trial. Don't put God on trial. Put doubt on trial. I think the answer is that when doubts wrestle inside either you or me or a friend of yours and wrestle with us and with our faith, instead of putting God or Jesus on trial, put doubt in the witness box. Cross-examine doubt. Try it first. We need to be strong, strong in the Lord. Thomas didn't have a religious Christian system. He didn't have a formalized Christian church, nor did any of the disciples. What they had was a person. They had Jesus. A Jesus who knew them, who had taught them, a person who had walked with them on dusty roads, a person who had eaten with them, laughed with them, a person who loved them. And Thomas needed the affirmation and the reuniting with the one that he called his master and his friend. But Thomas needed to test first. Thomas needed to make sure first that Jesus was real. And so for Thomas and for us, the story of Easter is a story of a presence on Easter Day, and that presence was the risen Lord. And Thomas missed that event. And it's also a story of a person who reveals himself to different people in different ways. And that's important for all of us here this morning, because God comes to each one of us and Jesus comes to each one of us in uniquely different ways. Different ways. To John, the beloved disciple, the one that wrote the Gospel of John. Do you remember he ran to the tomb? He and Peter ran to the tomb. And how does Jesus minister to John? John gets to the tomb. It's empty, but the grave clothes are still there. And they are collapsed. They're not unwound. They're not unwound. They're collapsed. His body has gone through the cloth. And they're collapsed. And the beautiful word, there's two words in Greek that stick in my head. Peter looks in the tomb, and he, the word they use for look is blepo. Peter took a glance and went away scratching his head. He glanced, couldn't figure it out. And then John goes in, sees the collapsed cloths. And the word that they use in Greek is eidon. And eidon means, aha, I get it. I understand. Yes. I see what happened. So that's how John was ministered to. To Mary standing by the tomb in the garden, she needed to hear her name. And he says one word, Mary. To Thomas, completely different again. Thomas, reach out your hand and touch me. Touch my scars. So we are all ministered to in totally different ways because the Lord knows our needs and what we respond to. So what's the message? Well, the message is, first of all, it's okay to doubt, but don't languish in it. And secondly, the Lord has lots of time for doubters. He goes out of his way to meet them. If you're a doubter, or you know someone who's a doubter, he loves you. He loves you. He met Thomas. He'll meet you. And then next, put doubt on trial. Not God, not Jesus. And then finally, accept and believe that the Lord can and will breathe His Holy Spirit on you, just as He did on the disciples, just as He did. The Christian community has been breathed upon by the invisible Spirit of God, and our lives, yours and mine, are subject to Jesus' power that indwells us. And that's why things happen at St. Cuthbert's. God comes in very unexpected ways to those who believe. And so we need to be like Thomas and boldly declare, my Lord and my God. Amen.